It would be true to say that there's a much smaller proportion of the world's population who are poor. So it has changed to the better to that extent. But what is still the case is that at the very bottom of the pile, there's something between 1 and 2 billion people living in poverty. And why hasn't that changed? Well, because in many countries they're still beset with conflict, with some cases bad governments, and with very difficult, and they're traditionally poor, and it takes a long time to work your way out of poverty.
Mm. Now, you have, you're in over 30 countries, you have a staff of, what, nearly 4,000.
Yes.
So, do you see change taking place?
In many of the countries we're in, I think there's very positive changes taking place, and that probably applies more to Asia than to Africa, because many of these countries have been growing substantially. But we're working with the very poorest people, and that's always a big challenge. But we feel that the work we're doing is making a very big difference, and it makes a difference because we're there, we're on the ground, we stick with it, we're not fly-by-nights. If we go into a place, we normally stay there, and we engage with the local population, and we're really trying very all the time to work with people themselves and to get their develop their potential. We're really there as instruments.
Mm. What do they say to you are their needs?
Well, most of the time, poor people have a very clear and acute sense of what their needs are. At the most basic level, it's
food.
Water, it's food.
Mm.
When you move up a little bit from that, it's education and it's health. And these are universal truths, I think.
Mm.
But very poor people in particular are resourceful and are very clear about what their needs are.
Mm. And when your NGOs go into these countries, how prepared are they to engage with the people and know what they are actually looking for?
Well, one of the things that I think Concern is actually very good at is in listening. And so we don't go in there with prescribed packages. We don't come saying, this, we know the way to solve your problems. We go in and we talk to the people. And I think through working with the people, we develop the sorts of programs we then develop, whether it's in primary health care or in education, or helping people make the best of what they have, the small amount of resources that they have.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people around the country in Ireland would have been supporting you over the last 40 years and supporting you very well. And do you think that the accountability that Concern talks about is important for them?
I think Concern is greatly blessed by the sort of support that we've had over the 40 years. And that, I think, was the foundations of that were really built back in the early 1970s, when we had an awful lot of volunteers who went overseas, who they knew their local community supported them, and they brought back the stories of what Concern has been doing. We've moved on, obviously, in some, we don't use volunteers to the same extent, but there's a basic trust there, I think, that Irish people feel the Concern is effective. It's doing its job well. It's making a real difference to the poor. And we feel that having that level of accountability is hugely important. And if we ever lost that, we'd have lost, you know, a fundamental value that we have.
Mm-hmm. And what are the main areas that you find that, you know, the money mainly is used in? Is it different in different countries?
It's different depending on the circumstances of the countries. I mean, some of the countries we're working in are countries in great difficulty, places like Darfur, where we're running a very large camp with nearly 100,000 people there, in Somalia, in Chad, in Kenya, more recently in trouble.
Yeah.
But then we're working in much more stable countries like Mozambique, where, you know, they've come out of their civil war 14 years ago. And they're building bit by bit the work. And we would do different things in those places. We'd be using their microfinance to help people who, you know, to basically help themselves.
Mm-hmm. Because I suppose sometimes people can get a bit, as they say, famine weary of seeing the starving children. And I mean, much as they need to be helped, you wonder, does it progress? Does it move on? Do those countries and those people actually get to the stage where they can be somewhat self-sufficient?
Well, what we try to do all the time is very much learn from what we're doing. And some of the work we've done, particularly in the whole area of malnutrition, has been quite revolutionary and groundbreaking. And it's a technique called community therapeutic care. And we tested that. We saw that it worked better than traditional ways of doing things. And last year, the United Nations adopted that as, if you like, best practice in treating malnutrition. nutrition. So if that technique is adopted very widely, I mean, that will actually save hundreds of thousands of lives. So that's, I think, it's about more than just doing the work ourselves. It's about learning from that work and, you know, persuading other people to do things better.
Hmm. Now, this year you're celebrating 40 years, which is a wonderful milestone. And when you think back on it and look forward to the future, what are your thoughts?
Well, firstly, thinking back, I would go back to your point about the support that we've consistently got from the Irish people over that period. That's been an enormous strength, and it's both financial and moral, I think, that strength. As we go forward, I think we accept that the basic values we have from the beginning 40 years ago of working with the very poorest and listening to them and helping them, that continues for the current generation of very poor people. And I think, you know, we will continue to be relevant, and we will continue, I think, to try to be innovative in the work we do and try and make as big an impact as we can.